presenting the Al Reed Show.
Such is life. Life is what you make it. Such is life. Show them you can take it on the chin with a grin. When Mr. Gloom comes around, don't let him in.
Ladies and gentlemen, we do hope you'll stay with us for the next half hour, because from here on, we're turning life round just to show you the funny side. Yes, introducing us to ourselves, here's Al Reed.
They're not having me for a mug, I'll tell you that. I said they're not having me for a mug, I'll tell you that. They're not that. But he knew what was going on behind his back, he'd turn in his grave.
He would, that, Ron.
Telling me there was no money. No money. No money. Chip shop that they had, two pans, ding-dong, frying every night. Three serving and two battering and no money. I said, you can dye that fur coat sky blue pink. We still know who it belonged to. I said, I'm not having her coming round here, lardy, dying it, Ron. I said, I'm not having that. I'm not having that. I've not forgotten her yet. Ordering lilies a fortnight before. Forgotten that yet. And then giving him a spoonful of mustard when the doctor said, don't let him sweat. Who's had more of it than I have? I say, who's had more of it than me? He says, has he said anything about that signet ring? He couldn't get off his finger. I said, no. He said, no, he won't. He's wearing it. I thought, right, monkey. Early to bed, early to rise, and it's vital that we should all get a good night's sleep. Deep and undisturbed slumber is essential, and what a blessing to be able to lie snug and warm between the sheets. But as daylight comes in through the window and you roll over and decide to hand another 5 minutes, what do you get? If you're waiting for me to light that fire, you'll be there till dinner time. Wife from the bedclothes. Why? What time is it, love? You'd lie there all morning if I didn't make a move. And it's time you realise there's other people trying to get some sleep besides you. I don't think I've closed my eyes once all night again. What with that alarm clock tick, 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 tick in my ear all night? That bathroom window banging away and you flat on your back snoring your head off? No wonder the window cleaner mistook me for your mother. Well, it's a new man on. I keep saying we'll have twin beds. I'll bet I was out of that bed a dozen times picking those eiderdowns up off the floor. And I'd no sooner got back in bed than you dragged them all out at the bottom. I don't know who you thought you were playing for, but I only said you're in my half again. And you shouted penalty and kicked me straight in the face. There's something wrong with you. You're always talking in your sleep. And I don't know who this Geraldine is. She wasn't half leading your dance at 4:15 this morning. Oh, it's just a book I'm reading. I don't know what's come over you lately. I don't. You see, you scared me to death the other night when I thought you were sleepwalking. I watched you going out of the room with your arms stretched out in front of you. It was only when you came back and said, that's better, I realised you'd been for a drink of water. I can't understand you. You come home cracking your fagged out and you won't eat your tea. You kick your shoes off and it's, oh, I must have an early night tonight. Get slumped down in front of the fire, out to the wide with your head all lolling all over the place. And then at 11:15, when I ask you if you're coming to bed, you wanted to play me at ping pong. We'll have a different arrangement here.
Now, that's enough.
I don't see why.
Have you finished?
A Well, if I'm going to... Oh, shut up. Well, if I'm going... Have you done? No wonder I've got rings round my... Oh, go to bed. Don't they make a fuss? Mind you, we do take a bit of putting up with. I mean, you just lose one night's sleep yourself, and it becomes a different kettle of fish altogether. And as you travel on that morning bus with the day's work in front of you, you'll find you can't keep your eyes open. But have you noticed there's always some cheerful bus conductor who's eager to put you right?
No one seems to care. I get my life if I could share the world see. I really care for your deeds, please. Hey, Sleeping Beauty. Did you want to book return or was it bed and breakfast?
I'm sorry. Are we nearly there?
Nearly there. We're halfway back. I thought you'd snuffed it. Well, it beats me how you've slept through it. The way he's been jamming his brakes on, it's a wonder to me you've not finished up in the cab.
Well, I can't get any sleep at all these nights lately.
You should have been with us on Saturday. We saw United play. We didn't wake up till Tuesday. Do you feel listless and lacking in energy?
Well, yes, I can't understand it. I always have a cup of that Vitamilk before I go to bed.
Well, that's it then. You've been reading those adverts about deep sleep coming in three layers. As far as I can see, when the wife whips the clothes off, you've only two.
Well, I thought it was supposed to bring on restful slumber.
You'd have thought so if you'd seen what it did to our cat. One sip of it and it flew straight up the wall.
Well, what about those lack of sleep stories they keep advertising in the paper?
You mean where he's too tired to clock on and finishes up the managing director?
Yes.
Where they keep drawing that doctor leaning back trying to explain it by medical science makes me laugh. If you think your doctors are going to start telling you about energy reserves being built up while you sleep, you've another think coming. I went to see mine, took one look at my tongue and said, try going to bed.
Well, I don't know what to do now.
I'll tell you what would put you right.
What's that?
Before you go to bed tonight, have a hot bath and cover yourself with itching powder.
Well, will that make me go to sleep?
No, but it'll keep you busy while you're awake.
Here's a melody in the air underground. There's a sound that makes the world go round. Even in the busy throng, there's a sound that lies. It's a symphony, the rumble of the express train, falling rain upon a window pane. All contain rhyme and rhythm, swing along with them, then you'll see that life is a melody.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, where there's life, there's music. And where there's music, you're sure to find that great American star of stage, screen, and radio, the man who manipulates the harmonica between his lips and at the same time accompanies himself on the guitar, ladies and gentlemen, Frank Cook.
Now we're going to play something fast. It's an old favorite called 12th Street Rag.
Frank, that really was terrific. And my very sincere thanks to you for coming along. And I mean that. And I don't know whether you know it, but as well as being a brilliant musician, he happens to own a rather large dog. Of course, it can be said that a dog is a man's best friend. But this is all very well until you call round to see a friend who's got a dog.
Come in, it's all right. I've got him by the collar. No, let me shut the door. If you touch that door, he'll go for you. Woo! Come here! See, squeeze past at the back while I've got him. Only I don't let him go, he's not had his dinner.
Woo!
Now then. Now then!
Woo!
Now then!
Woo!
Now then! Now then, Mr. He's taken a dislike to you. He does sometimes. You'll be all right if you just sit there and say nothing. Only don't move till he lies down.
Woo!
Hey, come here! He wants to put his face near yours. I shouldn't let him kiss you. You'll be all right if you don't move. He'll come down when he's ready. Hello, he's got your hat. It'll be all right, he'll spit it out. And you know, he knows every word I say. He knows every word I say. Hello, he's gone on the city with it. Hey.
Woo, woo.
And you know, he's like a big soft kid at home. But you say the wrong word and he'll have you. And what with the way he snaps at my feet when I try to put my slippers on and... He'd fight me. He'd fight me all the way upstairs. Then he tries to get in bed with me. Well, as I say, that's the third night this week I've had to sleep in his kennel. And now it's my very great pleasure to present a young man whose voice is taking him to the top of the tree. Ladies and gentlemen, will you meet... John Hobel.
Anche un drai parpelloni amoroso, notte e giorno d'intorno girando,
Belle, belle, tu quando il riposo, Narcisse tu adoncino d'amor. Belle, belle, tu quando il riposo, Narcisse tu adoncino d'amor. Non più avrai questi bei pennacini, quel cappello leggero galante, quella chioma, quell'aria penante, quel vermiglio non esco calor, quel vermiglio non esco calor. Non più avrai quei pennacini, quel cappello, quella chioma, quell'aria brillante. Non giungrai farfelloni amoroso, notte e giorno d'intorno girando. Belle, belle, tu vanno il riposo, Narcisse tu arancino d'amor. Belle, belle, tu vanno il riposo, Narcisse tu arancino d'amor. Ragriere paperbacco, gran mustacchi strato sacco, schioppo in spalla, sciabla fianco, colla dritto e muso franco, un gran casco, un gran turbante, molto no, poco cantante, poco cantante, poco cantante. Ed invece del fandango, una marcia per il fango, per metani e per velloni, con le nevi solnioni e il concerto di tromboni, di bombarde di canoni, che li falli tuoni tuoni all'orecchio palpisciò. E non più avrai quel pennacchini, non più avrai quel cappello, e non più avrai quella chioma, non più avrai quell'aria brillante. Non più avrai farfelloni amoroso, notte e giorno d'intorno girando. Belle, belle, tu mandavi il riposo, Narcisse tu arancino d'amor. Belle, belle, tu mandavi il riposo, Narcisse tu arancino d'amor. Che rovino è la vittoria, alla gloria mia età. Che rovino è la vittoria, alla gloria mia età. Alla gloria mia età, alla gloria mia età.
Thank you very much, John O'Vale, for that really wonderful singing. But don't go away, because here and now we are taking the lid off the post office. And as I say, what with having to come to this post office on Mondays for the children's allowance, then popping down on Wednesdays for his postal order, and again on Fridays to collect his pension, then we've to come to post his pools on a Thursday. She won't lift a finger, you know. Well, as I say, it's got to such a pitch. In the end, we thought it over and decided the only thing to do was to come and live next door.
Yes, but looking round this post office now, you wouldn't think that over 100,000 postmen...
Postmen, no.
...in this country were delivering 50 million letters every day.
They really, yes. They certainly get some...
They certainly do get through
shoe leather, yes. Well, I will say that our postman used to walk 23 miles before he got to our house. And, you know, never once in 14 years did he shut the gate.
But, you know, when you think, last year, the post office had a turnover of £95 million.
Mm.
I mean, just imagine they can make £2 million in a week.
Weak moment, yes. Yes. Well, I put £5 in the post office savings bank in 1933, and I've never regretted it. Even when I lost the book. Like I say, I can't even get it out. What chance has anybody else?
But it is marvellous, you know. I mean, when you think about... When you pick the phone up, I mean, and ask for a number.
Yeah.
I mean, it's wonderful to think that the post office dial 50 million numbers every day.
Day, yes. Mind you, I will say that for them. They do usually get the right one in the end.
Well, I can't get over it. I mean, there's 24,000 post offices in this country alone.
No.
You can send a letter from here to New York inside a day and a half.
Yes, wonderful. And to think we've been queuing up here 45 minutes and all we want is a Tuppenny stamp. Of course, the key man in any post office are the men behind the counter. They have to deal a dozen different matters all at the same time. To keep the queue on the move, they must make lightning decisions as each new face appears at the other side of the section window.
Right, next, please. Withdrawals. Other side, madam. Next, yes. Telegram. You've not signed your name on the back. That's not my fault, sir. There were nibs in them all this morning. Next, please. No, sir, we don't recruit policemen here at all. Next, please. One registered, four and a penny. Take that dog off those scales, madam. They don't need to be weighed to be licensed. Send him where, madam? Railex, 14 and 5. Have you got a cloth, madam? Next, please. No, sir. I've told you I can't register a parcel without string and sealing wax. Next, please. What's that, sir? You want a license for Gilbert Arden? Certainly. Certainly. Where are you keeping him? Next. 43 Tuppence 8, miss. No, sonny, you'll have to lick all those yourself. Next, please. Parcel for... Oh, thank you very much. I've been waiting for that. Tommy, come and take over. He just brought me fish and chips. An important feature of the post office service is the sending of telegrams. You can walk into any telephone box and dictate a telegram to any part of the country. What could be more simple? Hello? Hello? Is that the telegrams? Will you tell me, Mother, I'll meet her at the station? No, she's coming this afternoon on the train. Yes, yes, yes. Well, she sent a prepaid reply, so I haven't put anything in. Where does she walk? Well, you know that house on the corner of Brookfield Street? It's near a garage. No, it's near a garage, not a cabbage. A garage. Well, she's moved from there. You are. Just a minute. Will you put get earliest train stop? Stop until last stop. Stop. Glad to have you. Stop with us. Stop. Mind you don't get lost. Stop. Just a minute. He says we don't need to keep saying stop. He hasn't even started yet.
read it back? Just a minute. He says he thinks it'll sound better backwards. Can we take something out? Hello? Oh, yes, you're right. You're right. She knows she's coming by train, so we don't need to say that. Yes? Oh, you're right. She'll have to get off at the last stop. It doesn't go any further. Yes, that's right. Oh, well, what does that leave us with? Just a minute. He says all we've got left is get lost, and that goes for him too. Of course, the nerve centre of every general post office is the department where all letters and parcels are sorted in readiness for delivery. It is vital that the work is completed with speed and accuracy, and this depends upon the harmony and teamwork of the men behind the scenes. Let's just take a peep into the busy sorting section.
I'll go for that big ginger-headed postman yet, Jimmy. I'll have his life yet, so help me. You're not telling me he's got 14 bags full out of 3 letterboxes. I know his tricks. What he hasn't delivered by 9 o'clock, he posts. Well, I'll swear he takes them home and brings them back when I'm on nights. I'll have his life, Jimmy, so help me. There's one here I've sorted 3 times, to my knowledge. Keeps writing "not known" here on it. I wouldn't care, but it's addressed to Somerset House. And keep that bottom door shut. Whizzing in and out of here with them red bands, like a circus. Just backed one up here now, 3-tonner. Bringing the 6 o'clock collection. I get the back down, there's one little parcel. I'm just stamping it, and he has the cheek to shout, "Put that parcel down, it's me laundry." I'll go for him yet, Jimmy. I'll have his life. So help me. I've never been off my feet since 8 o'clock this morning. He gets me arguing with Big Taffy, and when I look round, he's dumped another 27 bags behind me. What chance have you? Oh, and that reminds me. Just keep an eye on things for a minute. I want to nip out and post a letter.
Life is what you make it. Such is life. Show them you can take it on the chin. With a grin when Mr. Bloom comes around. Don't let him in.
Remember life's that way. Today you're feeling happy, but tomorrow joy may turn to strife. One thing I found out, there's nothing you can do about it. Such is life. For the past 30 minutes, we've been looking at life through the pages of the Al Reed Show. Al asked us to say how nice it's been sharing the fun with the Cordites, Alan Ainsworth and the augmented Northern Variety Orchestra, and to thank Frank Cook and John Horbell for coming along and making it all worthwhile. The program, which was recorded, was produced in the north of England by Ronnie Taylor.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. And once again, it's my pleasure to welcome radio listeners to another I'll Read Expo. This week, we deal with the subject of communications. And one of the very first forms of communication was sending a message on foot by runner. Some people think we'd be better off going back to this system, but especially as the present minister in charge is Mr. Chris Chataway. And, of course, the Indians used to send smoke signals. And this was always a bit dicey. Only needed a gust of wind and you could say one thing and mean another. Then, of course, there was the carrier pigeon. This was another very effective way of communicating short messages. Trouble here was that when you got it to the other end, it was liable to add its own PS. But anyway, today, good communications have become vital to man's existence. And here, if you've got a minute, I'd like to prove how dependent we've become on the medium of radio. I have with me a shortwave radio set, and I'm going to try to find two ships talking to each other at sea. As it happens, I'm pretty good at Morse code, and we'll be able to get the gist of what they're saying. Let's have a go. Here we are. Here's a ship. Here's a ship. Now, what's he saying? Liberian tanker on your port bow. Have sprung leak. Taking in water. Please help. Message received. Stand by. Sending buckets. Buckets useless. Flooding fore and aft. Help quickly. This is the second mate. Our wireless operator has gone to lunch. Please repeat your message slowly. Sinking, sinking, sinking. Understand you are sinking. Suggest batten down all hatches. You great big double barrel chromium plated steaming knit we are we. sorry about that. Sorry. Sorry about that. We seem to have lost them. And what about the national press? You see, they're fighting a losing battle. They're not selling anything like enough newspapers. It's only the chip shops that's keeping them going. Mind you, there'd be no newspapers at all if they didn't sell the advertising space. These adverts take up half the paper. And have you read some of these in the miscellaneous column? Here you are. Pick any way you like. Here's one. For sale, large crystal vase by lady slightly cracked. Here's another. Middle-aged couple wish to dispose of their large satin quilted love seat or would exchange for two occasional chairs. Urgently required experienced stable boy to take care of horses who can speak German. 7 pages of this. And when you come right down to it, the main methods of communication by the average man and woman are by letter and telephone. And I'm sorry, but whether you like it or not, this brings you slap bang up against the post office. You can obtain dog licenses, car licenses, family allowances, insurance stamps, money orders, letter cards. You can send telegrams, parcels, overseas cables. That's until you walk in to try and get served. Especially if you happen to find yourself tagging on behind one of these fellas.
Are you waiting for a postal order?
Oh, yes. What's the hold-up?
You are. You're in the queue for the old age pension. No,
No, don't lose your place. There we are. By the time you get to the counter, they'll be drawing it. Talk about speed and efficiency. From the progress they're making behind that counter, it wouldn't surprise me if they're still selling penny blocks. Well, I must get served. I'm going to miss the post with my football coupon. Is it for Liverpool? Yes, I should set off walking. Well, you can see the trouble this young fella's having at the counter now. He's asked her for fourpenny stamp 3 times, to my knowledge. And she's not even looked at him yet. Or perhaps she's trying to find him one. What, in her handbag? Well, some of these customers won't help. I say some of these customers won't help. There's any amount of people walking here don't know what they came in for. I stood behind one the other day. He wanted 24 assorted foreign stamps, all with a queen's head on. And argued with her for 20 minutes. She kept telling him she hadn't any, but he wouldn't have it. I said at the finish, I chipped in. Couldn't help myself. I said, see, I said, if stamps have to have the Queen's head on, they won't be foreign. He said, they will be to me. I'm a Greek Cypriot. Hello. What's happened? We're moving. By heck, we are moving and all. This bloke's getting through them like a dose of salts. Hey, this is no good. We're practically breaking into a trot. Oh, this is good to me. I say, this is no good to me at all. Hey, you want to get served, don't you? Do I hellas like? I've only come in out of the rain. I don't know if you're all aware of it, but the post office provide what they call a dial a disc service, and for the price of a telephone call, you can listen to all your favourite tunes. You might like to try it sometime, but in the meantime, here's a tune that won't cost you anything at all. And who better to play it than my good friend, Jeff Alderson, and his music. Very, very nice. And, you know, you can knock the post office as much as you like, but I'll tell you one thing. We'd be lost without the postman. Am I right? In millions of houses every morning all over the country, it's always the same question. Has the postman been? But if we're going to be honest, who'd have a postman's job? It's no good saying it's better than walking the streets. We all know that one. No, if you want the truth about the man who delivers your mail, hail, rain or snow, listen to any two postmen's wives when they get together to compare notes.
Well, I tell you, mine's asleep on his feet every time he comes through the door. Mm. He's flaked out in the chair before I can so much
as... It's the same with our Jack. It's straight home, straight upstairs and straight to bed every day. That's twice this week he's gone fast asleep with his pyjamas over his post bag. Oh, and he does have nightmares. Only yesterday afternoon he jumped out of bed, shouted, "Where's your letterbox?" and tried to stuff his pillow under the wardrobe.
Well, what bothers me is he can't seem to get the job off his mind. Mm-hmm. If I don't arrange his boots in numerical order...
It's the same with our Jack. He won't even let me register a complaint till I've signed for it.
Well, mine's too conscientious. If I ask him to collect the laundry, he makes them do it up with sealing wax.
It's the same with our Jack. He's forever laying street maps on our front room floor while he works out his shortcuts. Then he'll have the fireplace as the post office and a settee as Victoria Avenue and my coffee table as Berry New Road. I only asked him last night to switch the telly on. He said, "I can't, I've just delivered there."
I'm fed up with mine using the sideboard to practice jumping over locked gates. He takes lumps out of it every time
It's the same with our Jive. He's always asking me to get down on my hands and knees and be a dog so he can practice. I don't mind him. I say, I don't mind yapping round his legs while he's trying to get past, and I'm prepared to snarl at him when he lifts his boot to me. But I've told him, he's not having me jumping up at him and taking a bite out of his breeches bottom. If it's a problem delivering letters, what must it be like sorting them? Not all done by machinery, not by a long way. And you can bet there are some right scenes in that sorting office, especially round about 6 o'clock at night when the rush starts. Just put yourself in their position.
Don't let him back that mail van in here, Tommy! Tommy, stop him! Well, don't stand there. Let his tires down. Can't you see I'm surrounded with mountains of it? They don't want sorters here, they want Sherpas. Hey, give us a chance. 2 more parcels on top of this lot, I'll need a periscope to find the gents. What's this pile over here, nearly touching the ceiling? Are these the fourpenies we kept back from yesterday, or are they the ones from the day previous we should have sent the night before last? Well, you come and shift them. A terrible smell coming from somewhere. I do believe somebody's had no more sense than St. Kippers, second class. Just look, my shirt's sopping wet again. And I'll go for that hippie postman with a shoulder-length haircut yet to help me. I love his life. You're not telling me he's got 14 bags full out of those 3 letterboxes. I know his tricks. What he hasn't delivered by 9 o'clock, he posts. I've never been off my feet since 7 o'clock this morning. He gets me arguing with Big Toffee, and when I look round, he's backed another 3-tonner up. Stands there watching me let the tailboard down. And all he's got inside is 1 little parcel. Then, blow me, he lets me pick it up to stamp it. Then he says, "Put that back, it's my supper." Killing one of these days. Oh, unlucky, yeah. Who's altered the date on this Frankie machine? They're going through 69th of July, 1790. Well, that settles it. Come and take over, Tommy. I'm not sorting another letter till I've nipped out and posted my resignation.
course, there's one big consolation in all this for the post office. Postal delays are the best incentive for people to send telegrams. Now, that's one service you can't complain about. Doesn't matter where you are, you simply walk into the nearest telephone box and within minutes, your message is speeding off to its destination. But first of all, you've got to get through to telegrams. And this is not always as simple as it seems.
See, get your sixpences piled up where I won't knock them over. Now, are we sure what you want to say? Only, I don't want you changing your mind and have me running after the telegram boy.
Please redial,
omitting
the figures, 01.
Hello? Was that somebody saying something? Hello? Are you there?
I will only need the last seven digits for calls within the London area.
Oh, do you?
Please redial, omitting the figures, 01.
Oh, right, thank you. I'll do that.
You need to dial only the last seven digits for calls within the London area.
Yes, you just
please
said that. Yes. Yes. She said to dial again without 01. Funny that, leaving two numbers out of the middle. Well, we'll see where this gets us. Hello? Is that the telegram boy there? Yes. Well, this won't take a minute. What time are you off?
At the third stroke, it will be 51 yeah. Precisely.
Are you sure? I want to make it 10-2. You can tell her type. She's just a clock watcher. I'll dial 100 and get the operator. Are you sure we're doing the right thing, telling this telegram to your mother? 10-1, when he gets there, she'll be next door chatting. Hello? Hello? Can I have the telegram boy, please? Pardon? Hold on. What to? Oh, I see. Oh. She says she's trying to put me through. I don't mind as long as she's not trying to put me on. Hello? Are you the telegrams? Oh, how do you do? I think you might remember me. Yes. You once delivered a telegram to our house when we lived in Bromley Road. Honey, I'd no small change to give the lad a tip, so I pumped his tyres up. Pardon? Oh, yes, to the point, yes. Oh, yes. Will you tell her mother we'll meet her at the station? No, her mother. Pardon? A dress? Oh, I don't know what she's wearing. I think a knitted jumper suit. Oh, I see what you mean. Well, you know that house on the corner of Rugby Road? It's opposite to a garage. Well, she's moved from there, honey. No, I'm just thinking she might have called round at their Annie's. Just a minute.
He says, would we not be better putting out an SOS?
Hello? Well, will you put get first train stop until last stop glad to have you stop with us stop mind you don't get lost stop. Pardon? Just a minute.
He says, will I not keep saying stop? He hasn't even started yet.
Hello? Too many words, yes. How do you mean? Oh, yes. Oh, you're quite right. Oh, she knows she's coming by train, so, well, we don't need to say that. Yes. Oh, you're right again. She'll have to get off at the last stop. It doesn't go any further. Yes? Well, what... Yeah, what does that leave us with? Just a minute.
He says,
All we've got left now is get lost, and that goes for him as well.
Communication is the passing of information from its source to its destination. A lot of people can do it, but there are few who can do it as charmingly or as tunefully as our resident singing personality. Ladies and gentlemen, a welcome, please, for Miss Julie Rogers.
Hello, Al. I'm glad you're doing the post office this week. Yes. And if you don't mind, I'd like to voice a little grumble.
Certainly. What key do you want it in?
No, now, this is serious, Al. Right. I think the post office should be stopped from snooping around the streets with those television detector vans. They frighten the people out of their wits.
Well, by all accounts, they seem to get results.
I know they do. One stopped outside my front door last Friday. I flew out of the house, down to the post office, paid £6 for a license. I ran all the way home, and when I thought what I'd done, I was disgusted.
No conscience, eh?
No, no television set.
No television. You're pulling my leg, Julie. No, don't stop. I love it. But you must admit, the post office does a marvellous job.
Well, I'm not so sure. I mean, I rang my friend Trixie in Aberdeen last Christmas. We were only on about 15 minutes, and they charged me 16 and 6.
Well, that's about right.
Yes, but most of the time I wasn't even speaking. I was listening to her.
Okay, Jeff. Half to four. Less, if you can manage it. Thank you, Julie Rogers.
Now, where was I? Oh, yes. Communications. It's amazing how much we depend on that telephone. It's got that way these days. Without it, you feel out of touch with the world. It's all right rattling the receiver, expecting everything to come to life. We can all do that. Oh, come on, come on. What are they playing at? I'd be quicker sending a postcard. Hello. Have you all nodded off? Do all that, but when she comes on to tell you the lines have been repaired, how many of us give a thought to the lads perched on top of that telegraph pole in howling wind and rain? Who'd have a job like that? Just to keep you good-tempered. Right. Right, go on, Billy. Go on, Billy. Go on, go on! Try and cock your leg over that middle cross member. Billy! Go on. Don't come down, I'm behind you. Don't come down! Whoa, whoa, whoa! Listen, you clumsy... When you finish digging your boot in, that's the top of my knot. Have a bit of sense. We're 40 feet up here. Now swing your body round to face me. Bring it this way round to face me. Well, come on, you'll have it dark. I'm stuck. You're not stuck. Let's have a look at you, daft beggar. No wonder you're stuck. You've got your braces trapped round a pot insulator. God, I mean, if I'm not fed up, what with the rain dropping down the back of my neck and getting handfuls of what these crows have dropped. I'll bet you've forgotten to bring that reel of copper wire up with you now. Are you shaking your head at viewing the landscape? Give us that handset out of your pocket. I'll check this first pair. Steady, now don't drop it, I'll drop you. Right. Tap these two wires here. Shouldn't take as long to find a fault. Oh, that's funny. Don't seem to be much wrong with that. I'll do a test ring. Relays are working all right. Hello. Hello, you, Jack. Hey, you, Jack. Yeah. Yeah. Listen, I thought you said there was a fault on this line. Do you mean where we are now? I said, do you mean where are we now? Where are we now? We're in a field up a pole and it's pelting down. Well, you sent us. Are you sure? Yes, definitely. Oh, yeah, send an ambulance right away. See you, Jack. Right. Put this headset back in your pocket and start praying. Why? What are they sending in for an ambulance for? It's for you, you daft beggar. Not only have you got us up the pole, you've got us up the wrong one.
And here at the end of another Al Reed Expo, it remains only to thank you for listening and to remind you that apart from Al himself, who devised the program, you also heard his resident guest, Julie Rogers, together with Jeff Alderson and his music. The program was written by Ronnie Taylor and produced by John Brow.